a stone buried in your flesh.
Ryan was again slogging relentlessly onward in a great loop south, hoping to meet the others. His toes hurt, and he could feel a faint prickling on his exposed face. His hands were also becoming swollen and tender.
Stone in your flesh.
That was how Finnegan had described what the early symptoms of frostbite felt like. It was nearly midday, but the temperature seemed to be dropping. Off to the north, he could see a great smear of yellow across the sullen sky, where a volcano was erupting. At the top of a ridge, he stared out through the swirling wall of snow, looking for any sign of life, friendly or otherwise. He thought he saw the great dish of the radar installation many miles ahead, but it seemed impossible to reach before evening. And he was beginning to doubt his ability to survive another night without proper shelter and some food. The Mutie polar bear came blundering out of the mists of evening, patting on huge, shaggy paws. Ryan was close to the limits of exhaustion and hunger. His concentration was slipping. Still, he plodded onward, trying to make as much ground as he could before hacking another shelter from the unyielding snow.
Fucking fire blast!
He stumbled back a few paces, leveling the Heckler & Koch G-12 at the hulking beast that stood less than 20 paces away. Its red eyes glared at him. Breath plumed from its jaws. For a few moments, man and beast stared at each other, neither sure of the other's intentions. Ryan put his finger on the trigger of the automatic rifle.
Just get the fuck out of my way!
The creature moved its head back and forth, almost as if trying to hypnotize its intended prey, with the regular pendulum swinging. Saliva dripped from the long, tusked teeth. The head moved faster and still faster. Ryan blinked, fighting against tiredness to hold the gun steady, knowing that one lapse of concentration would be fatal. Noticing a sudden tensing of the hump of muscle across the bear's shoulders and guessing it presaged a charge, he didn't hesitate any longer. The gun set on continuous fire, he squeezed the trigger, bracing his hip against the recoil. In a crosswind, the 4.7mm bullet was liable to a degree of drift, though the trajectory drop was excellent. At 20 paces, the stream of bullets tore into the polar bear, bursting its heavy skull apart. Ryan kept firing into the animal's broad chest, sending it staggering to its knees, then onto its side. Its feet kicked and flailed in the bloodied snow. Ryan used the entire 50-round magazine, knowing that a beast of that size needed to be terminated with utmost prejudice and speed. There wouldn't have been a second chance. He reloaded, looking into the gloom of the onrushing night. The sound of the gun would have been so brief that he doubted there was any danger from the Russians. Its head blasted to pulp, the bear was undeniably dead. But as Ryan bent to touch it, feeling the warmth of the carcass, he was startled to feel the heart still pumping, even though there was virtually no blood left in the whole monstrous body. He took off his gauntlets, pushing his hands inside the gaping chest cavity, careful to avoid scratches from the jagged ribs and breastbone. The scarlet pool around his feet was steaming. Finn had come out once with a horror story of some trader up in the north, dying of the cold, who'd shot a buffalo on the high plains, hacked its belly open, ripped out the guts, and crawled into the carcass, and huddled there in the glorious warmth. But during the night, the cold had frozen the soft flesh to an immovable stiffness, and not being able to get out, he perished. Ryan was content to have his hands and arms warmed, feeling inside for the rhythmic pounding of the bear's heart. He brought his smoking fingers to his mouth and licked the salty blood. His stomach heaved with revulsion for a few moments, but he fought against the sickness, lapping at the clotting crimson liquid, taking as much nourishment as he was able. He sliced away a few thin pieces of the meat, chewing with a grim determination, forcing himself to swallow. Then he took more. From previous experiences of hunger, he knew that to eat too much, particularly such rich meat, would only make him throw up. The blood dried and began to freeze on his hands, cracking and falling off in dark brown flakes. Ryan rubbed his hands together to remove as much of the blood as possible and felt his circulation reviving. Night was now very close, and it was time once more to build a shelter. This time there was less snow, and he was forced to struggle with boulders, painstakingly chipping them free of the ice with his panga, piling them into a wall, filling in the cracks with snow. It wasn't solid enough. After a couple of hours, he began to feel the telltale signs of the biting cold. His feet and hands were growing numb, and he was becoming drowsy. It wasn't the usual healthy desire for a night's rest after a hard day. It was an insidious, creeping sleepiness offering a tempting promise of warmth and relief from pain. It was overlaid with the feeling that he'd done his best and now had earned his rest.
Fuck that. I'm not finished yet.
He stood, stamping his feet, pulling up the hood around his ears, then changing his mind and lowering it once more. If he was going to start walking this night, he would be virtually blind. It would be madness to make himself virtually deaf by covering his ears with the hood. He had decided that his only genuine hope of surviving was to make for the old ruined radar station with its conspicuous geodesic dome. There might be shelter there, and it was the obvious place for Hen and the others to wait for him. Every few minutes, the moon broke through the low clouds, throwing the land into sharp relief. The track toward the tumbled buildings wandered like a drunken man, gradually coming down off the wind-torn edge of the escarpment. Ryan's guess was that his destination was about 4 miles off. At his best normal pace on level ground, that would take him under an hour. After 3 exhausting hours, he was still less than halfway there. It was at this point that he started seeing things that couldn't be real. The first impossibility was the traitor. He stood a few yards ahead of Ryan, pointing an accusing finger.
Suck it up, Ryan. You're gonna have a lot more to deal with in the future than just an Alaskan windstorm. Those people you let away from the docks are dependent on you. JB, the Muti girl, and especially Doc. He's the key. You hearing me, boy?
At first, Ryan was stunned. Then he nodded grudgingly at his hallucination. He'd heard, although he wished he hadn't, and wondered if he had just proved he had lost it by acknowledging someone who wasn't really there. While he was at it, he also wondered why Trader hadn't mentioned Oki, Finn, and Hen in that list.
Ryan!
Where are you?
Then, all of a sudden, the Trader's image disappeared, and he was now staring at a large, brilliantly white area with humming and blinking lights surrounding him. He saw